grace and peace from God our Father, His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, and it's a test for those that were absent and those that were present, I hope they were paying attention. Pastor put his hands together and reached out and said, "I'm the greatest of all. I'm the greatest of all." Who was he talking about? There you are. Someone that was listening, someone that was present, and there were a lot of people that were absent. I have two more. I'm going to ask the one that runs the screen to put up the picture I have to give you a little hint. Are you watching me? Who am I talking about? What's the picture? A gate. Still can't get it? Oh, come on. There's somebody over there. Who is it? Yes, Bill Gates. The millionaire. A lot of people were looking at each other and said, "Who's that?" Right. He made millions on the computer. Right, there you are. You see, now we're waking up. Maybe that hint wasn't well enough. Well, here's the other one. And this one, if you don't believe it, we might excommunicate you. Hey, you see, we got Lutherans here today. Thank you. You know, these three men were great. Were. They're no longer around. One of them made it with his fist. He beat every heavyweight that was around. The other one used his skill, his knowledge, and he became a millionaire. And the last one, a monk, didn't have very much, but he had knowledge of God's word. And he found something that everyone should learn about. Faith alone can save. Deeds are not worth anything. A man is saved by his faith and not the deeds of the law. Some person wrote that the hammering that Martin Luther made were heard all over the world. Because what he put on that paper, what he professed, brought a reformation in the whole world. A lot of things, a lot of changes were made. And today, we are glad that that change was made because we believe in his faith, in our faith, in Jesus Christ as being the only way to be saved. Jesus alone is our Savior. Today, like most people, we like recognition. We like to be told. We like to do big things. When I was young, we had gangs, teenage gangs. And I heard one of them say, "If I'm caught, they better spell my name right." He wanted publicity. He wanted to be recognized. Not for the good, but the damage that he was doing. People are that way. They want to make a big splash on the newspaper, on television, or at least they want a pat on the back, which is all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of times we do it with a strong feeling in our hearts. We want the publicity. We want the knowledge. We want the okay. We're doing it. So I should get all the credit. A little league boy, his dream is to come up to the plate, the bases loaded, the score is tied, and to hit that home run that brings all the runners in. Now, we don't know what his desire is to get all the publicity for himself, but he wants to share it with those around him. He wants to be part of the team. And if it happens, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Now, here's a sorry note, and yet we pray that it will come true. A teenager has gone into drugs since he was in junior high school. And something came up that he'll start to think of the future. And he started thinking, if I will keep on this track, I won't be alive to enjoy life, to be an adult, to get married, to have children. So he's battling drugs. And he's hoping that someone will help him. Someone will. That's his dream. That's his dream. That's his greatness if he can overcome all that. Because there is a future if he does that. Our disciples, our 12 disciples, were no different. One of their mothers came up to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, my two sons are following you, as James and John. Why don't you put one on your right hand and one on your left hand?" That's how mothers are, aren't they? They want the best for their kids. It's all right. It's okay. But if it's to put others down, to brag about it, remember, we're in God's hands. He has a future already for us. If you want something, you pray for it. Well, Peter was just like you and myself. The gospel text talks about Peter and also about the unforgiving servant. Peter goes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times?" Not only does he ask the question, but he already has what he thinks is good. You know, good for him, but people, "Hey, this guy's going to forgive people seven times. Wow, who is there on earth can forgive seven times to one person?" Jesus sets him back. Not only seven times, but 70 times seven. 490 times. 490 times you and I should forgive those that have offended us, that have spoken bad about us, that have really hurt us. We should forgive them. We should forgive them. I think Peter kind of backed down and he started thinking and he said, "You know, I have a lot to forgive. I have a lot to be thankful for that Jesus forgives me every day." I wonder if we would think for one day, how many times do we offend him? I bet it would probably go 490. And that's every day. And he says to you, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven." You know, sometimes you go to this married couple and they invite you in. They talk to you, but they don't talk to each other. Why? Because they offended each other, and they're giving themselves the silent treatment. Now, if that goes on, there's going to be a divorce. Don't they remember the vows they made? For better or for worse, for richer or for poor. And they made it before the altar if they got married in church. They made it before God Himself. I pronounce you husband and wife. A Christian couple. Getting angry because they want to be number one. The woman says, I want to be number one. The husband says, I want to be number one. And they argue. I don't know how they argue. They got started, but you know, it got to the point where they don't talk to each other, and pretty soon they're asking for a divorce. We can't live with each other. I always say, remember, you are joined together. In the center is the third person. And that's Jesus Christ, your Lord. When you're at home, there's that third person there. He loves you. He cares for you. And He forgives you. Can you not forgive each other? Why did you get married? What brought you two together? Because we love each other. And what happened to that love? Jesus loves you and doesn't want you to separate. Come and talk to the pastor to see if you can settle things. You know, a lot of couples do not come to the pastor because they know what he's going to tell them. And they're stubborn enough not to reconcile. And that's sad. That's sad. Would you forgive a woman who lost her husband? And then she hears the neighbor spreading gossip among the other neighborhoods. Tell this woman and these children that she has, boy, they're terrible. Her husband died. She's a widow. And you know what? Every night I see three young men, her age, they come into the house. Late at night they leave. And then the children are not there. Maybe she tells them to go out. And then the children come in. Maybe they're out there partying around. Maybe they're taking drugs. Maybe is not the truth. This lady has her brothers visiting her because she's a widow. They come to check on her. They love her. They come to see how our sister is doing by herself. The young people are using the library to their homework. They have no computers at home. And they always leave the house and come in till they close the library. Gossip gets around. Be careful with that tongue. It hurts. But this, well, like the question was, would you forgive her? Boy, that's asking a lot, Pastor. Look what she's doing. Look at the, she hurts me. She hurts my children. She hurts my family. How can I forgive her? In the Lord's Prayer, and we use it very often, forgive us our trespasses as you forgive my trespasses. Remember, God's Word, He is to guide you. He is to let you see that you need a Savior. And you find Him in His Word. When Christians get together, the fire gets burning. It can do a lot of good. But when people don't get together, when Christians don't get together, the fire goes out. And there's coldness in there. How can you reach somebody who needs to be warm and you're cold? You can be the example to those that are cold. Come and give them a hug and ask what they are going through. And sometimes they will tell you, this and this person will not forgive me. It hurts me because I love them. Well, let's pray together. And if possible, I'm going to go over there and talk to them. Talk to them. Let's go to the second part. The parable. The parable of the king and his servants. This king is known for his generosity. He's been lending money out to his servants, you know, so forth. Well, now, you know, that's not good business. Because you're going to be a pauper. You know, you lose it all. So this time, the king says, hey, let's line them up and tell me who owes me, and I'm going to ask them to pay up. And one person comes before him who owes him 100 denarii. No, not 100. $16 million. $16 million. And the king says, okay, pay me. Or I'm going to sell you and I'm going to sell your children until I get paid the $16 million. Boy, the servant doesn't know what to do. I mean, he's trembling all over. He falls on his knees and he crosses his hand and he prays to the king and says, please give me time and I'll pay you. Yes, I'll pay you. And the king knows, oh, this guy can't pay me. There's no way. 16 million? Nah. And he looks at him, the tears, the knee, he takes him by the hand, stands him up, he says, listen to me. Forget about it. You don't owe me a cent. Forget about it. And the man just can't believe it. And he walks out, and he still can't believe it. He says, I think this is a trick. I think he's going to call me back. Maybe tomorrow, maybe a year later. But he's going to get me. He's out to get me. So he said, what can I do? Oh, I know. I'll go to those people that owe me money so I can collect all this money. Now, I won't have it all, but I'll be prepared. And I tell them, this is what I got now. You know, this is the down payment. I'll go and get some more. So he goes to those people that owe him. And he finds a person there. And he grabs him by the collar and gives him a shake. And he says, hey, pay me. How much do I owe you? $100. $100. Pay me. I don't have it, please. Look, if you don't pay me, you're going to jail. You or your family are going to jail until you pay me. And some of the other servants see this. And they've heard what happened to him, and they say, they say, what's wrong with this man? He's been forgiven, and now he goes and picks on somebody else. Ah, he just wants to be great. He wants to use his anger. He wants to use his power to get what he wants. People around see that anger. People around see that he is, you know, out to kill. For money. Sometimes I think parents are that way. Your child does something. Oh, you jump on him. Hey, what's wrong with you? Why'd you do that? You know, come here. Get in that corner. And don't speak to me for the rest of the day. And wait till your dad gets there. Is that loving your child? I mean, you can scold him. But do you use your anger? Do you frighten that child? I saw a little girl just shaking as her mother was talking to her, you know, waiting for the worst to come, you know. We can frighten children so much. And we take our anger out on them. We make mistakes when we're children. Perhaps you remember your dad, your mom, they're a little heavy on you. And are you repeating that? You know how you went through it. Are you doing that to your children? Are you doing that to your children? I wonder if that's why grandparents or grandchildren love their grandparents. Oh, they just love them so much. Because their parents are so hard on them. I know we want the best for them. The best for them. And the best for them is a hug, a kiss, play with them, spend some time with them. That's the best. And that's what God wants from you, His children. You are His child. I know a man who obeyed his father. I know a man whose father was very proud of him. I know a man who changed water into wine. I know a man who walked on water. I know a man who fed 10,000 people on one day. I know a man who went to Calvary's mountain. There he was, the center of attention, because he was nailed to the cross. Why do I mention this man? Because you know him. What's his name? What's his name?
Jesus.
Thank you. Sometimes we're ashamed to mention his name. He is not ashamed of you. He was up on the cross and he suffered that shame. That awful, awful shame. He died for you and for me. But he rose again. And that joy should be in our hearts, that we should share it with the whole world. I know a man who gave his life, who forgave my sins, who rose again and says to me, because I live, you shall live also, and you will be with me in paradise forever and ever. Amen. Let's close with a prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Martin Luther, because he opened the scripture for many more. And may we always have it on our side. May we always read it and share it with others as we look to you for forgiveness always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.